All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, please open them up. We're going to be in the book of Romans. Someone shout out what chapter we're in. Five. We're in chapter five. How do you say that in Spanish? Romans chapter five. Romanos. Romanos capítulo cinco. I forget. See, some of the books of the Bible, it's like a totally different name in Spanish. All right, so Romans chapter 5, we're going to be picking up from verse 12, but I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to start with prayer, and then I'm going to ask for a volunteer and then some interaction from the crowd. That's why I have the whiteboard up here. So let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Oh, Lord, we thank you that our sins are washed clean. They're made white as snow through your blood. We thank you, Jesus, for leaving heaven, for putting on a body of flesh, for being willing to be the final and only sacrifice that heaven will accept for our sins. You stretched out your arms as you were nailed to the cross. You said, "It is finished," and all of the work that you would have to do for our justification so that we would be made clean, we would be forgiven, that our debts would not only be paid, but also that you can not only forgive us our sins, but you have that uncanny ability to forget our sins. Lord, as the writer of Hebrews quotes in Hebrews 8 from Jeremiah's book, that our sins will be remembered no more. And so we ask, Lord, can you please help us to understand more about your grace? Lord, we need the empowerment and enlightenment that comes from your Spirit. We ask for the understanding, Lord, that you would open up our understanding from your word, God. Speak to us, encourage our hearts here today. And we ask, Father, that you would minister to each and every one of us. God, some of us might be going through something right now that's so horrendous within our hearts that we simply need to give it over to you. That you would heal us, God. So please minister to us. Do your work within us and through us, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, you guys could have a seat if you would please. So today we're going to be talking about the much more grace of God. Again, the much more grace of God. But like I mentioned, I need a volunteer, someone that can come up, and you're going to be writing on the board. And I'm going to ask out in the crowd for some things, and that person is simply going to write down on the board. So who wants to be the scribe? Come on. No, not everybody here is shy. Who wants to come up? We got a bunch of markers here on the whiteboard. Come on up. I'm not kidding. Someone come up. All right. Come on up. Yay! Give Sister Wendy a hand. All right. So you got a bunch of colored markers there. Pick one of your choosing. All right. So Miss Wendy's going to be the scribe to note down on the whiteboard. I'm going to ask you guys then about sins. You don't have to get specific. You can be generic. Be general with it. Keep it generic. So don't tell us names. Don't tell us specific circumstances. But what kind of sins can people do? Shout it out. Lying. Okay, so Miss Wendy's going to write down these sins. Lying is one of them. Good. What else?
Murder.
Okay, what else? What are the kind of sins?
Greed.
Greed. Pride. Okay, one at a time.
Insults.
Pride. Insults, okay.
Anger.
Okay, anger. Could lead to wrath.
Okay,
angry and stealing. Gossip. Gossip's a sin, the sin of gossip. What else?
Grieving the Holy Spirit,
okay. Say it again.
Having another God, like
having another God, okay. Yeah, idolatry, okay. That's another way to say it. Good. Anything else? We could fill up the board. I mean, there's hundreds of things we could write, right? Again, don't be specific. Don't be saying, you know, punching my husband so-and-so. What's that? Bad mouthing? Okay. Kind of, yeah. You could write that down, though. Different way of saying it.
Cursing.
Okay, we got a whole bunch of them.
Adultery.
Okay, sexual immorality. Yeah, just about.
Covetousness.
Okay, it's coveting, covetousness. Good.
Idolatry.
All right. Yeah, idolatry is already there. All right, anything else? Just a final list.
Pride.
Okay, we got pride already. Yeah, that's okay. All right. Anything else? Maybe one more. Okay. Using God's name in vain. Okay, using God's name as a curse word, yeah. Okay. All right, that's probably good enough for now. Thank you. Okay, give everybody a hand. Thank you for our volunteer and also all you all. All right, so here's the thing. Let me move this over just a little bit here, but here's what goes on. When you are forgiven, basically this is what it is. It's like taking something that's on your account. Imagine this is your account, spiritually speaking. This is what you've done, and these are the things you are guilty of. And you're brought before not just the judge in a court, but the real judge, God himself. When you're forgiven, it's on your record. It's just sort of crossed out. It's paid for. It's taken care of. Make sense? If this was monetary, if it was financial, it could be on your account as, say, a negative, and then in the positive, someone had paid for, but it's still on your account, correct? You pay your landlord, it goes into a computer, and you owe this much, here's your balance, you pay this much, and you'll see the positive and the negative. Make sense? Just like balancing your checkbook. When you're forgiven all these things, bad-mouthing, cursing, adultery, sexual immorality, covetousness, using God's name in vain, gosh, a whole big list here. I gotta wash my hands now. Gosh. Lying, murder, greed, pride, insult, anger, stealing, gossiping, grieving the Holy Spirit, idolatry. So all these things. Okay, let's just say that these are the sins that are on your account. That's forgiveness. This is a picture of, one picture of forgiveness. So if you've been forgiven, think of it on the friendship level, horizontally, between person to person. You did all this stuff in your friendship and your relationship, and that person says, okay, 70 times 7, I remember. So I'm counting this. 1, 2. Just kidding. You don't count, right? Not going to see a show of hands. See, sometimes we do that. No, but you are forgiven. Now, that might be a good picture of forgiveness. It's still on your account. It's still on the whiteboard, isn't it? You can still see it, can't you? So we might say in our earthly friendships, earthly relationships, we might forgive, but we don't forget. Who here struggles with that? We all do, right? Now, when it comes to what we might say, I need another volunteer to come up. This might be helpful for someone. Someone, did you want to come? You look like you want to. Who else wants to come up? Come on up. Come on up, Paloma. You're the next contestant. Sounds like a game show. Okay, so this is forgiveness. We just drew a line through these various sins. But the memory of the sins are still there. The debt has been paid, but the debt has only been covered. Make sense? It's still on the books. That's a picture of forgiveness. This is how atonement was in the Old Testament time. Literally, the biggest picture of atonement in Torah was Yom Kippur. Literally, Yom means day. Kofar means to cover. Literally, Yom Kippur is the day of covering. Your sins were still there, kind of crossed out or covered. Make sense? Atonement in the Old Testament time was your sins are covered. The New Testament time, it's radically different. And here's how. I'm going to ask our volunteer, Miss Paloma, can you take the eraser and wipe it clean? Start wiping it clean. This, my friends, is the picture of justification. Hopefully this hits home for someone here. This might help someone. This helps me. So when you are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, the sin is forgiven, the debt has been paid, But it's not merely covered, but the sins are erased. Make sense? It's not now imputed to your account just forgiveness, but justification. So as we erase the sins off the whiteboard, so to speak, there's no record of your sins. Make sense? This might help someone. This might help you in your prayer life. Thank you. You can have a seat now. Thank you. Give our volunteer a hand. Yes, thank you. So the slate has been wiped totally clean. That's a good picture of justification. You might hear someone like me or others say, it's justified. You're just if I'd never sinned. But God, you remember what I did? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. The slate has been wiped clean. The account is wiped. Some of you guys, to your credit, you're like, please wipe it. It's a similar thing when it comes to this. So there's no record of it. Your slate has been wiped clean. Your record has been erased. There's no record of it in heaven. This is justification by faith through Jesus Christ. Make sense? Hopefully this helps someone here. So this is how atonement was meant to be. Break down that word in English. At one meant. That you are at one with the Heavenly Father, but through who? Through Yeshua or Jesus, the Messiah or Christ. Atonement in the New Testament time through is like this. You are justified by faith. Who did the work for your justification? Jesus Christ. We've been going through this over and over. Romans is a great book to break this down. This will help, hopefully for self as well as for others. So atonement through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, it's justified, never sinned. The slate has been wiped clean. The record is wiped. Don't bother tossing up those thoughts into heaven. But God, you remember what I did? Oh, he's like, you're in Christ now. If you're saved by faith through Jesus Christ, you're in Christ no longer, as we say, and we'll look at it in chapter 5, no longer in Adam. Death will reign no more in you. Instead, through Jesus Christ, life. And life eternal, but yet life abundantly also here and now. Amen? Let's look at this in chapter 5, verse 12. Let's pick up here. Verse 12, therefore, and we've been talking about, again, this picture, this thing called justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. All right, so Adam and Eve, they sinned. But before they sinned, there was no death on the planet. You ever thought about this? And asked maybe a vegan, hey, what were animals doing before the fall or even before the flood? Have you ever thought about that? There was no death, therefore they would not have a need to eat one another. Now, I'm not telling you to be vegan or be a vegetarian or anything like that. But it's interesting to note, there was no death on the entire planet. Even roses, they had no thorns on them. There was no weeds. There was no death on the planet. So before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no death at all on planet Earth. But it says here, quote, through one man, sin entered the world. Who's that one man? Adam. This teaches us that because of Adam and Adam's sin, not your sin. Please understand this. This might set someone free here. Not your sin, but because of Adam's sin, quote, sin entered the world. And then what? Now you and I, just like their children born after them in Genesis, their children, including us today, every human being, besides Christ Jesus, is born a sinner. Why? Because of your sin? No. Because of Adam's sin. Through one man, sin entered the world. That's what it says. It says sin entered the world. And death came about, quote, through sin, end quote. Death came about through sin. Now, because of Adam, all of us are under death. Any guesses at what the CDC says about the deaths in America in 2020. Guess how many? Any guesses? 100 people? No? 200,000? Anybody think it's 200,000? Six figures? No, the United States. CDC, federal government. Six figures? Over 3 million. In America. We're talking just America. Like, what? Just America. Okay, death. Death still reigns, not just in America, but worldwide, globally. So God tells us, quote, death spread to all men because all sinned. So now every one of us is born a sinner. So we're talking about identity before action. Make sense? Identity and action. But identity before action. This is why when it comes to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible, everything for your life is about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The action He did, being crucified for your sins and mine. So you got identity. Because of Adam's sin, now each and every one of us are born sinners. That's our identity, as we might say, in Adam. Oh, but God wants a makeover. God wants a changeover. And what does He do? He sent His only begotten Son. What's His name? Jesus the Christ, who took on your sin as He died on the cross for you. According to the Scriptures, was buried, resurrected according to the Scriptures. And now as we accept His death as payment for your sins and mine, and we are justified by faith, you don't have to do any action, justified by faith in His action of who He is and what He's done. Jesus the Messiah died on the cross for your sins and mine. And now what is given to my account, not sin, but righteousness? Doesn't make sense, does it? Because He did the work. And now you have a new identity. It's no longer in Adam, it's in who? In Jesus Messiah, and the slate, the record, is wiped clean. Oh, I love that. Anybody love that? I love that. The fact that it's wiped clean, no record. So because of Adam, all of us are under death. God tells us death spread to all men because all sinned. So now every one of us is born a sinner. The identity starts from the beginning for each and every one of us. So the identity, because they're in Adam, that comes first, and then the action. So our actions do not create the identity. In other words, our identity as sinners mandates that our actions will be sinful. Make sense? Our identity as sinners mandates that our actions will be sinful. I'm talking we, in plural language here, speaking of all of humanity across the planet. Every single one of us is born a sinner. So when that child grows up and they start lying or stealing, is it because mommy taught them? Certainly mommy must have taught them that, not daddy. Is it because daddy taught them? It's because Adam, right? Because of one man. Through one man, sin entered in. They have an identity as a sinner, therefore they, as an action, sin. The identity comes first, then the action. The actions do not change the identity. So people have sinful actions because of their identity from birth, is that they're sinners because of who? Because of Adam. So this might help someone here, because you might think, I thought I'm supposed to be in Christ. There's a new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. All things are passed away. The slate's wiped clean. Now I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm like the butterfly, no longer like the caterpillar. But I still struggle with this. Maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I'm not saved. No, you have a new identity. And you got to cry out to God for the empowerment that He could help you with those actions. Make sense? So the identity, then the action. So all the world has an identity, and it's in Adam. But when Christ Jesus comes into your life, He gives you a new identity, and now it's in Christ. So now 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, so your identity through justification by faith, which is what we're talking about, by the time we get to chapter 5, verse 12, notice there's a therefore. What is the therefore? Therefore, if you can understand everything from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and now embrace these things, you are justified not by your works, nor who you are. Okay, it's nothing about your identity. It's about His. He's Jesus, the Messiah, Son of God, Savior, and Lord. His identity, not yours. And because of His action, dying on the cross, resurrecting for you, now you are justified by faith in Him. Okay, not because of who you are or who you were, but because of who He is and what He's done. So stop beating up yourself if that's happening. Okay, that happens sometimes. So the identity comes first. You're in Christ, and now the action. Be empowered by His Spirit for the action. Be first in Christ. Again, the actions do not create our identity. This is why if you try to be a religious, good, moral person, a good boy, a good girl, don't work. It doesn't. Why? Because you have to first have that identity. Many times we want to work on the external action. Oh, I got to do like a Christian. He's doing this. She's doing this. Let me just copy that. And then God will be pleased. No, I first have to be found in Christ, no longer in Adam. That slate has to be wiped clean. My sins are still on me. It's still imputed to me in my account. In Christ Jesus, I am now justified by faith. And because of that, He imputes what to my account? Righteousness? Because of His righteousness. Not because of you, and not because of what you can do as an action. So all the world has an identity. It's in Adam. But when Christ comes into your life, He gives you a new identity. It's again, it's in who? In Christ. That's your new identity. It's in Christ Jesus. Let's continue on. We'll see these things kind of unfold here. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. This is crazy to think. That when something new, take out your phone, if you guys have a phone. I think most of you guys do. It's like a wireless leash, right? Do you know if you drive a car in New York City and you operate this, that funny person in the car behind you with those red and blue lights, what do you call that person?
The man.
The ossifer. The man. They can pull you over because you're operating this while you're driving. And they give you this nice little piece of paper. What do you call that? Summons or a ticket. But do you know that they can't until that's a law that you've broken? I mean, let that settle in. Like, oh, wait a second. Okay, so what did they have to do? They had to write a new law because we had a new device. Does that make sense? So if you look in the law books, there's new laws. Actually, every state in every locality, at least in America, they had to put on the law books that it's against the law, and I'm summarizing it. Don't crucify me for not saying the exact word for word verbatim. That if you operate a motor vehicle and use your phone, not hands-free, but you're using your phone, they can give you a ticket because you're breaking the law. But if there is no law, there is no sin. Make sense? That's interesting how that is, right? So if there's a new device that comes about and there's new ways to sin against it, guess what New York City is going to have to do? Create a new law. That's why you look at the law books, they're huge. For until the law, sin was in the world. So if there's no law, then you haven't broken the law. That's why you used to have people like on the phone all the time. You know, texting when they're driving, oh, and everybody's crashing. Like, I think we've got to make a new law. You shouldn't be on that thing. So this is why recent new laws had to be put into place, saying that basically you cannot be on your phone while driving a car, including a lot of other laws too. Let's continue on. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. So death reigned from Adam to Moses. Moses set up the law. What's another word for law, like we say in Hebrew? Torah, the Torah. So death reigned. Is death still reigning in the world? Yeah. Even the CDC is reporting it in 2020, the most recent figure that we've seen of the entire nation. I think it's like 3.3 million have died. The Bible teaches you and I that Adam was a representation of the entire human race, the entirety of the human race. Adam was a type of, guess who? A Christ. So in typology, you've got some who are like and some who are not like. So they're compared or contrasted. Adam was not exactly like Christ. In fact, Paul's point here in Romans 5 is he's going to compare Adam with Christ as a contrast. Make sense? So through Adam, death reigns. So guess what reigns now through Christ? Death reigned through Adam. What's going to reign through Christ? Life. Anybody happy about that?
Yes.
Okay, someone's mildly happy about that. Who else? There's one person happy. Anybody else?
Yes.
Praise God, right? So, death reigned through Adam. Life reigns through Christ. When Adam fell to sin, he brought sin into the world. And now every person is born a sinner. So when you're reborn, you have a new life. When you are born again, you now have life reigning within. Please understand this. So many of us, we come to Christ. I'm going to share the next screen here. We come to Christ, we're like, okay, John, Dan, what about that abundant life? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I've come to give life, and life abundantly. Well, what about that abundant life? Some of us, it's the eternal thing we're going through is stuck somewhere here or here, or both. Make sense? We believe the lies, but we need healing in our hearts emotionally. We're like, oh, I don't have the abundant life. Wow. That was me. Just a big old complainer. I need to know what God says in his word and have faith at face value for what he says and believe it and walk in it. And I'm not saying you got to convince yourself. I'm saying let the power of his word change and transform you. Romans 12, which we'll get to in a couple chapters or so in the future. You have a renewing of the mind. How? He says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. By the time we get to that chapter 12, by the time we get to there, praise God, we'll hopefully have a lot of this ministered to us and through us. So Adam was a type of Christ. Here's what Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians 15, verse 45. That actually should say 49. 45 through 49. It's on display. I'm going to read it out loud too. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, who do you think that was? Jesus. The last Adam, the last representation of all humanity, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth. Who was that speaking of? Adam, made of dust. The second man is a Lord from heaven. Who is that speaking of? Jesus Christ. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Notice where it says man. Capital M, speaking of who? Jesus Christ. Okay, so death reigns in the world through who? Through Adam. But, as we're talking about, again, the much more grace of God, life reigns now in you, through who? Through Jesus Christ. So, as you're in Christ Jesus, I'm speaking to the fact of if you are a born-again Christian, you are now in Christ, you are reigning. Life reigns in you through him, through his life. His life lives in you, permeates you, works in and through you to change and transform not just your heart, but also your mind, your thoughts, the lies maybe you believed in. Oh, but Lord, let me put this back on the board. No. You're now in Messiah Jesus. You've been justified by faith. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Remember the person. And now you have a new identity because of him, the person of Christ. And his work. So not your work, his actions. As he did what on the cross? Died. I am crucified with Christ, as Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. No longer I who live. The I has to die. And I'm not talking about physical eyes. The I. I. Anybody know that? The I has to die, right? You and I need to know that. And sometimes our flesh, our self-will holds on to the things. But you don't know how much of a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner I was. But God, you died for their sins, but mine are worse. I don't know what you're talking about, the Father might say. It's been wiped clean. Now you're in Christ. So when the Father sees the Son and you're in Him, how does He see you if He sees first His Son? Righteous, holy, pure. But I still got stuff to deal with. Well, He gives you the Holy Spirit. But that's how the Father now sees you. Let's continue on. Back here in Romans 5, verse 15 and on, it says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, listen to this, much more the grace of God. I love that. Much more the grace of God. And the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So this one man, who is that first man? Adam. He made offense by sinning. And now every person not only physically dies, but is going to have an eternal death. How many years is eternity? Forever. Forever and ever. That's why the symbol of eternity, we might say, is like an eight on its side. I remember Journey. Anybody listen to that old group? I'm kind of, you know, I guess I'm older. But some of you guys are like, Journey, what are you talking about? But that was one of their symbols they had. Anyhow. So the symbol for eternity is, it's like a, you know, figure eight racetrack. There's no beginning, no end. You and I, though, in Christ, now life is reigning because of His life. Now reigns within you, right? And now you're in Christ. But every person would not only physically die, but have an eternal death because of Adam. Because of one man's sin, sin entered in. One man's offense. But Jesus was called the last Adam, as 2 Corinthians 15, verse 45 calls Him. I'll display it again up here so you can see it. Check the doctrine. He came and gave us a free gift. A free gift. Who likes receiving gifts? A couple of you guys do. I love gifts. We all love gifts, right? Now, someone gives you a gift and they stiff you, or they give you the bill and say, okay, that'll be $50. Is that a gift? No. Do you know in America, when you do that, legally even, that's a financial transaction. You know that. It's no longer free. It's a transaction. And then the government will say, what? Pay up tax. That's a sale. Sales tax, right? That's actually legally how they would term it. But when it's a free gift, there's no money exchanged. It's a free gift. So there's a free gift that awaits for every one of us. The free gift is the much more grace of God. I'm going to say it again. The free gift is the much more grace of God. We saw an illustration of that here. We saw an illustration of forgiveness. Oh, it goes beyond that. It's much more. It goes beyond just forgiveness. It goes beyond just wiping the slate clean. Please understand this. It's not just that He wipes the slate clean and then you're like, hello, is heaven up there? No, what, excuse me, what do I do with my life now? Leave a message at the door. It goes beyond just erasing all the debts. The free gift is the much more grace of God. So the much more grace of God is available to you and me through Jesus Christ. As it says here in this verse, quote, the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So God doesn't just give us a free gift of grace, and doesn't just give us life through Jesus. It's a free gift of much more grace. This might help someone. This totally helps me. Still does. So like, oh yeah, God, I remember. You give much more grace. So you see much more in Jesus Christ than you will with anybody or anything for all eternity, period. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
You receive much more from Jesus Christ than anybody or anything. No job, no friendship, No, nothing can give you what Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ can give you. He doesn't just give you grace, he gives you much more grace. It's much more grace. And it doesn't compare to anything. Let's continue on. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So this free gift, I'm going to write now on the board here, this free gift of the much more grace of God, here's some of what you get. This almost sounds like a sales pitch. But wait, there's more, right? And that's kind of an interesting thing, right? A free set of Ginsu knives. No, you don't get that. But with God, you do get much more. And it does help to illustrate this because if we see off the pages of Scripture, you're going to be able to hopefully see these things. So the much more grace of God, this free gift, what does he also give you? Not just forgiving your sins, wiping them out, but still on the account, and not just erasing the slate so there's no record. You also get justification, which is part of it. The much more grace of God includes your justification. Verse 17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So through this, quote, one man's offense, Adam, death and sin reigned over all mankind. The sin nature is inherited by you and I. You don't have to do a single thing for it. You're just born into this world, a sinner in a fallen world, and your identity is a what? A sinner. So a sinner is going to sin. That person sins because they're a sinner. Okay, so the identity before the action. But much more, look, notice again, verse 17, much more those who receive abundance of grace. Oh, so this free gift of the much more grace of God gives you what? A gift of, look at verse 17, abundance of grace. Who here wants abundance of grace? Don't worry, I'm not selling anything here. It sounds like it. But wait, there's more. Before you call in. But wait, there's more to add. So the much more grace of God gifts you not just with justification, but look at this in verse 17. Abundance of grace. Oh God, do you have some grace to pour out to me? Yes, he has an abundance of grace. Anybody praise God for that? Praise God for that. He doesn't just give you grace. He's got an abundance of grace. So this is some of the stuff that will not just help wake us up, but also help empower you, minister to you, that through you he can pour out his grace to a lost, dead, and dying world. He needs to reach people. He wants to use you and I as missionaries. When you leave this place, I want you to leave as a missionary, to even tell other Christians about the abundant grace of God, the much more grace of God. There's a lot of Christians, they're still dealing with the fact that, oh, I think, okay, my sin, yes, I'm still struggling, but I'm still looking at it. He's like, no, there's still a lot of Christians that they're dealing with this. So I want to show you as an illustration, it's not just forgiven, not just crossed out, it's eradicated. That's atonement through Jesus Christ. Atonement in the New Testament has a totally different connotation than the Old Testament definition. It's not just covered. It's not just kofar, covered. Like, oh, I know it's still there. I still see the shape of it. I could tell I'm still staring at it. That was the Old Testament. And that's why it could not do anything to minister to your heart. It couldn't do anything to cleanse your conscience. But it's much more than just forgiveness. It's much more than just cleaning the slate. What does he now impute or give to your account? And you don't deserve this? This is the much more grace of God. You have justification. The justified never sinned. That's how he treats you in your relationship with him. You need to know that in your prayer life. You need to know that as you walk with him. You need to know that as you move forward doing the will of God in your life. And on top of that, he also gives you abundance of grace. This is part of the much more grace of God. An abundance of grace. So not just grace, but an abundance of grace. This free gift of the much more grace of God gifts you with also, look at this. Verse 17, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of what? Wait a second. So I was just a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. And because of having faith in what Jesus Christ did, that I'm justified by faith, not by actions, not by my work, not by my giving or going, but justified by faith in him. This is part of the much more grace of God. He now justifies me. He gives me abundance of grace. And now, as we might say, his righteousness is now imputed to you. You don't work for it. You just receive it. You just got to believe it and receive it. That he gives you righteousness? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. If this makes sense to anybody, let me know. And we're going to talk about your theology because this cannot make sense. If it makes sense to someone, it's because I do this much, I give this much, I go this much, I fast this much. It's called legalism. It's not the agape love of God. This doesn't make sense. Why? This is the much more grace of God. So this is correct theology as Paul's used by God to teach you and I. And this is going to, I don't know about you, this really ministers to me and heals me. So much more grace of God. Not only does he give you abundance of grace, he also gives you this gift of righteousness. So the Father imputes righteousness to your account. No longer is it just forgiveness, where it's still there, but he erases it, or draws a line through it, or mentions that, okay, it's paid in full. The account's paid in full. The balance is paid up, but hey, look, you really have some nasty debt there. No, it's eradicated, it's erased, it's wiped clean, the slate is clean, and on top of that, the much more grace of God, you get righteousness, but what did I do? I sinned. What did he do? He died for it. I don't get it. Who loses out in the deal, you or God? God. But according to him, he doesn't lose out. Like, he wants you, he wants me, and all I did to deserve this is that while I was still in sin, Christ Jesus did what? Died for that sin? Died for me? Does that make sense? No. This is why he wants to win you over by his grace. This is why the abundant grace of God, why the much more grace of God needs to really permeate us. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us with this. And this free gift of the much more grace of God also gifts you with something. Notice this in verse 17 again. And of the gift of righteousness will reign in what? Life. So the much more grace of God will also give you life. Wow. I get abundant life. I get eternal life through him. That's part of the much more grace of God. Where do I sign up? You just got to believe and receive by faith. You're justified by faith. Let's continue on. So life now reigns for you instead of what? Death. Death in Adam, life in Christ. Make sense? Let's continue on. Verse 18 as we close up here. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace must or might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this free gift, last but not least, on this list that we're just pulling out of scripture right here, this free gift of the much more grace of God gifts you with, look at verse 20, abounding grace. So not just abundance of grace, abounding. I picture like a bunny rabbit, just, or maybe a kangaroo, if that's a better picture for you. Just jumping, hopping, abounding grace. Oh, I love that. Oh, Lord, would you change and transform us within that we would know that not only are we forgiven our sins, But you wipe the slate clean, and on top of that, what do you give to our account, so to speak? What do you give us according to your much more grace? You give us justification. You give us abundance of grace. You give us righteousness. Now you impute righteousness of Christ to me, to every one of us as born-again children of God, although we don't deserve it. You also give us life as part of the abundant life in Christ. And it's not just grace, abounding grace again. Verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Can we all stand, please? We're going to close with a word of prayer here. And as we close with prayer, if anyone wants to stick around and maybe you have a question, maybe you want prayer, we'll pray for you. Or if you need to pray and go home and pray, or right afterwards stay in fellowship and ask for prayer, do so. But allow the much more grace of God to change and transform your life. He doesn't just forgive you your sins. He doesn't just forget the sins. He doesn't just wipe the slate clean. The much more grace of God, He keeps pouring out His abundant grace upon you, into and through you. Father in heaven, we thank You for these things that You reveal to us. And oh Lord, we ask for You to open up our understanding. Please help us, Lord. Help us to see these things. They're just jumping off the pages of Scripture. Help us to get excited about these things, Lord, of what You not only did 2,000 years ago, roughly, as You died on the cross for our sins, but You still do here today. You're a great high priest. You're a final sin sacrifice. And You're the one that gives us righteousness. And it's in Christ. It's only because of who You are. No longer in Adam. So death doesn't have to reign within us. Lord, we know that these bodies will die one day. It's just a shell. But God, help us to know what we should do and how to think and how to act, how to walk with You, how to make decisions every day. That it's going to be through Your grace that You pour out. And You give us not just grace, You give us much more grace. Help us to receive Your grace, Lord. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, pour out Your Spirit. Minister to us, encourage us, equip us by Your grace, Lord, for Your glory. Help us, God, for we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.